Why is recorded in front of a live studio audience?
I am not sure if you have an Alexa.
Well, no, I personally do not, but you know that they are throughout the home.
Right. So I have noticed what I don't think she listens to me is one part of the things I've noticed.
Okay.
And my whole family finds it very amusing that I'm always saying, no, Alexa, not stop. Alexa, just stop. But I love playing live recordings from things through Alexa simply to hear her tell me what I'm listening to.
Okay.
And so it will say Midnight Rambler, Live by the Rolling Stones. Oh. It's just like adds a whole nother level to it.
I get that.
It recontextualizes the song in a great way.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. To tell me, because a lot of the times she puts a comma in there. So it's not really saying this is the live version. It's part of an order. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Jumpin' Jack yes. Flash, live. Just like she is.
Right.
Deeming
isn't she
it so.
Supposed to just guide us to what we're supposed to do for all time? Like, I thought that was what her purpose
I think
was.
So. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure she's, yeah, launching us all into space pretty soon.
Right?
Yeah.
Is this how they come back to get us with the spaceship?
Please. Well, at this point.
Because we never.
Right.
We'd never make it with the rules.
Oh, yeah. We get tossed out of that thing pretty quick.
Really fast.
Yeah. And space is a vacuum.
And I don't want to go to space.
That's true. Yeah.
I would hate space.
This is Why, with your hosts, Heidi Hedquist and Luke Poling.
What in particular would you not care about space? Please tell me what you would find annoying about space.
All of it. Like the claustrophobia alone.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
The infinite. Yeah. It's dark all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The attire is really not attractive on anyone.
I knew we were going to be getting to that sooner rather than
like
later.
At least if they put like I think if I could take my like spacesuit helmet mm-hmm. and put the little Stay Puft Marshmallow sailor hat on it and turn it into a Stay Puft Marshmallow costume, I'd be more into it.
Okay, be more jaunty,
especially if I could be like evil, right? If I could be jaunty and more of a character.
Mm-hmm.
If I could look like Ziggy Stardust, I'd be okay with it.
But all of us, A, want to look like Sticky Stardust, and would be okay with that.
Yeah. If I could look like Elton John in the Rocketman era, I'd be okay with it.
Sure, yeah. Donald Duck or Dodger Stadium?
I'm really actually more Donald Duck, believe it or not.
Okay, interesting.
Because I'm more Disney than baseball, although I do like the sequin uniform.
Sure. Yeah.
But,
okay.
I think I'd be more Donald Duck.
Interesting.
For sure. But yeah, I don't know. It's just not for me though. Like we're floating around.
I want that put on a t-shirt. Space-. It's not for me.
Yeah.
We're destroying our world.
I don't want to go to space with Elon Musk.
We're destroying this planet at a record pace. And it's not for me.
But okay, so we're destroying our planet. So why should we be allowed to destroy all the other planets? That's the other thing.
That's true.
Like,
no, very
we did
true.
A terrible job with this one. Like, we shouldn't be allowed on Mars or anywhere else.
No,
so
if
it's part of my civic duty.
No, I think, we should definitely be watched and not left alone with the children on any other planet. I feel like as a species, it's not going to go well.
No.
So, this is definitely a species that if you left us to babysit, the house would be on fire when you got home.
Right? And no one would know where the children were.
No, nobody would know.
I don't know.
No, what do you want from me? Very, very
dog
true.
Was supposed to watch him.
Yeah. I told the dog to stay here. What do you want from me? where did you start off? Was it modeling? Was it acting? Was it stunts?
So I grew up as a dancer and gymnast. I did all that stuff growing. I started, I think, at age 5 or 6 is when I got into doing gymnastics. And then around 7 or 8, I transitioned over to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I stuck with the tumbling aspect of dance, and I kept that along with me up until my freshman year of high school. So I did the dance, musical theater kind of thing. Then did all this bunch of sports in high school. College comes around. Played college football for a year at University of Arizona. And then got into cage fighting. So I took the dance, this graceful ballerina guy. He's like, punch me in the face a couple times, see how I feel. Took that, became an MMA fighter. I was able to shoot one movie in Tucson where they needed an underground cage fighter for like an extra like featured role for a fight scene. I was like, cool, I'm a fighter. I can just, you know, I can do stage combat, no problem. I ended up doing that. I thought it was a cool experience. And I was like, you know what? Okay. A couple of years go by after the film, I get laid off from a job. And I was like, okay, I'm tired of working this 9-to-5 stuff. I feel like I'm meant for something different. I grew up entertaining people all my life. I figured why not give it a shot? So I hopped on a motorcycle from Tucson, Arizona to California. That was in 2015. And then kind of just hit the ground running from there, trying to network. I was lucky enough to meet a couple awesome people in the industry. Michael Colon was the first director I met out here. He kind of paved the way with meeting people that he thought were awesome that I ended up becoming good friends with to this day. We're together quite a bit. So I guess what the start was more just getting a featured role as a fighter and then taking what I've already had growing up and then using that to kind of just show myself to everyone, be like, hey, come find me. I can do this. I can do that. So
acting wasn't your kind of, I mean, obviously you were into it in high school and stuff, but it wasn't like I think I want to pursue this. It was after the fact.
It wasn't until I got fired that I was like, okay, I mean, why not? Like I said, I spent all this time on stage, whether it was dancing or musical theater or playing a sport or getting punched in the face to entertain people. I feel that I can do this in the way that I think I can. I'm just going to go for it and see what happens. So
as a fellow musical theater kid, how many of your fellow former high school actors, actresses want to punch you in the face because you actually went on and did it and they never had the guts to do it?
I haven't had anybody be like, screw you. You know, you took a chance and you made it. Oh,
it's coming.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, once I get that big role that I'm waiting for, you know, that I'm just slowly inching myself into because I know it's just a matter of time before it hits. Once I get that one, then I'm sure I'll have a few people come out of the woodwork and be like, hey, let's fight. But I did have two. One was a football player with me. His name is Joey Matthews. And then I had a dancer friend of mine. I used to dance with her in high school, Amy Kilgore. They actually both took a move to California as well to pursue acting. And they're both doing the thing just like I am. So a couple of us did it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you have a part that you played that is your favorite to this day?
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
I'm still waiting for that really cool action scene that I haven't gotten to do yet. But I play a really good bad guy, I feel. So I've done a few horror shorts that I get to play the bad guy in, and I think it really pulled that off pretty well. So I like being the bad guy. Even if it was an action movie, give me the bad guy role. You know, I can do that pretty well.
I agree.
That's where it's at.
We've interviewed some people who refuse to play the bad guy, and that's really weird to me because why? That's like the most fun. You get to do
the most fun, and if you do it the right way, you write a movie with the bad guy and he wins. I mean, that doesn't
happen.
Right. I mean, that has to happen eventually, right?
It'll happen.
So what about high school? What was your favorite role there? Was it Anything Goes? Can we put you down for that?
West Side Story. Yeah. I did a couple. The big one I did in high school was actually Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
Wow.
I was the Phantom, so that was a good time.
The titular Phantom. Okay.
Yeah, so there we go. That was the one.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to start doing?
I'm too old.
Music at night.
We couldn't do Phantom. Like Phantom was still a big hit when I was in high school.
It wasn't as big of a hit as it was for me. So we were able to pull that off without any issues.
That's awesome.
So looking at your IMDb page, you have been keeping busy. At least it looked. You fooled me if you're sitting around with your feet up.
I try to stay busy. I was lucky enough to get in with some awesome people who are really working and have some projects that were completed here pretty soon. The most recent one I did, there was two of them that were completed recently. One of them was a short film called The Salsa y Salsa. It's a little comedy about a guy who goes to a bar during COVID. He goes to a backyard bar that his buddy set up, and he invites a blind date, but the blind date ends up being someone he didn't expect. It ends up being a guy. So that puts the twist on that. And so there was that one, which I helped produce, and I was a supporting role in that one. And then we just had a premiere for our horror feature called Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And that won best horror feature at the Chinese Film Festival. So that was cool.
Very nice. Yes. And you've been doing a lot of stunt coordinating as well.
Yeah, so a lot of the indie stuff that I've been a part of with the fight scenes, stuff like that, because of my MMA background, I've been able to add my expertise and advice and just my opinion on things like that, and they end up being well-liked and approved by directors and producers. So I've been able to get a few stunt coordinator credits as well as, you know, stuntman credit here and there throughout it. So I'm trying to build that resume. I mean, I would love to be a stuntman for, you know, like a Statham or a Bruce Willis down the road or something like that, or James McAvoy. I mean, I have a bald head. I can make it happen. I just gotta find them and they gotta find me, and just I can show them what I can do, and that'll be that. But that's part of the grind, you know, you gotta find the right people.
What is the difference in stage fighting versus real fighting, other than you don't really punch me in the face? Is there much of a difference in how you put that together, in what reads well on camera versus what would actually happen?
So with stage combat, a lot of it comes from camera angles. And of course, with the two actors that you have doing the dance, it really is a dance when you look at it, because it is all choreographed. So different angles can make you perceive what would be a real hit and what wouldn't be. And I know we've all seen those movies where the camera's at a certain angle and the guy throws a punch and the punch isn't even close. Right. And the guy reacts to it like, oh, you hit me in the face. And that's just, I mean, one, it could be poor execution on the actor's part, but it could be poor execution on the director and cinematographer, and you just got to put that together. So a lot of it comes, it's a team effort when it comes down to it. The actors have to be on point, know how to pull a punch, how to pull a kick, how to react to one. Timing is most important. And then, of course, the angle of which where the camera's at plays a big part in it as well.
How do you, as someone who is a fighter and who has probably practiced those kicks, punches, moves, all of it time and time and time again, so that it's just basically second nature to you, how do you then, when you're also acting and in the moment of trying to immerse yourself in this scene, how do you simultaneously turn that off and turn that on?
There's been a couple times where I've forgotten to do that. And I've gotten okay. a little carried away, and it ended up not working out. So part of that also comes from my background in professional wrestling. Now, everyone thinks that professional wrestling is fake. I can say with certainty that it's not. The only scripted thing about it is the winner or the loser. Now, there is, when you are slapping or punching or kicking, you are pulling your kick or your punch. You're making contact, but you're not following through with the actual kick or punch, so you're not really doing damage to that person. Now, when you're wrestling and you're in the heat of the moment and you're in front of people, there is a time or two where the punch does follow through and you are getting hit in the face. You kind of just have to go through it. So a lot of me being able to pull the punch has come from that, and that has taught me a lot to kind of remember where I'm at, the atmosphere that I'm in, and slow it down. I mean, sell it, but don't follow through and fully make it happen. And again, that also helps when you have angles, because then you can back from the person, as long as the camera angle is on point and you can still throw your full punch. You're not going to make contact. You know, the person's reacting the way they should. It looks as almost if you didn't.
So when you were wrestling, did you have like any preferred promos, or what was your style? Were you a bad guy wrestler too?
I tried to be a bad guy, but it just, I mean, the crowd kind of perceived me as this good guy. So my fight name for MMA and wrestling was The Judge. My favorite movie is Judge Dredd.
That's a good one.
Judge Dredd is my favorite movie. Well, the newer one with Carl Urban.
I was, okay, thank you. Yep.
Dredd, yes. Dredd was the man. So I kind of took that on and just called myself The Judge. So everything I had to do happened to be with, you know, closing the case, making it happen, putting judgment on the opponent and calling it a day. So that was the promo that I ran with and kind of stuck with, and I used that throughout cage fighting and professional wrestling.
Did you have judicial robes?
I didn't have any of the robes. So okay. When I was doing it, I was in the process of kind of fighting it. I was going back and forth between if I wanted the robe and like the old school hair that they used to have.
Sure.
Or if I wanted to do the mimic of Dredd and come out in the Dredd outfit. But then just use my last name of Bensick as the badge. That way, you know, I wasn't causing any problems. However, the promotion that I wrestled with was kind of low budget. We didn't really have a huge, huge following. So I wasn't able to really invest hardcore into what my gimmick was going to be. So I kind of just, I guess you could say, did what I could with what I had. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of focused more on the wrestling aspect of it. And then cutting the promo instead of the actual outfit. So, I mean, I'm still currently looking for a wrestling organization that I can become a part of here in California. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking about maybe bringing that back and trying to revive that gimmick and see how well it goes.
Oh no, you got to go with The Judge.
I just got to find the one that's a good fit and work it into the schedule and then get it back in there. So
yeah,
got to get the robes.
Robes, definitely.
100%.
Using the phrase "approach the bench," I think would be huge.
Yes.
I think also
order in the court.
Yep. I'll allow
there
it.
There you go. Yep. Order in the court. Yep. I'll allow it. I'll rise when I answer.
Yeah.
Yep.
God,
this is the that best. Was one of them. I yep. will go full.
That was one of them. Yep.
Watch you it, counselor.
Pull them all to rise.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. I had them all contempt. Rise up when I answered. Contempt. Contempt of the ring. There we go. Yeah, punishment is time to wrestle. Oh. Yeah, it's a good time. Oh. I enjoy it so much.
No, because judgment is justice is blind. Now.
And then you have like your manager be like old school Elizabeth, but she'd be the bailiff.
Ooh.
There you go.
I was thinking Rusty the bailiff from People's
it's
Court.
It's good.
But maybe too many. God rest. Yeah, maybe I'm too many decades behind.
Yes.
Before we started recording, you were talking about your kind of modeling career that's come out of all of this as well. And you've become a popular underwear model. Now, that is a career.
Yes.
We have not spoken to anyone who has had that that job.
I'm the first one, all right.
Yeah, so welcome. But is it weird when you meet, these people have seen your performance, if you catch my drift. there's a bit of a that sort of social contract where it's like they know more about you than you about them, and there's a little bit of a you have them at a disadvantage. Is that ever weird, or just as somebody who naturally takes care of their body on a regular basis, that it's not that awkward to be running around essentially with your shirt off and short shorts?
At first, well, the funny thing, our underwear ads is I actually have my shirt on the whole time, which is actually kind of funny.
Yeah,
because a lot of people are like, "Why is his shirt tucked into his underwear?" It's like, ah, that's part of it. Focus on the underwear, not the model.
Right. No, but I noticed so you did let yourself go from the waist up. So that's
part of it. I mean, at first I was like, this is kind of weird, you know, all these gay men kind of just basically treating me like I'm a piece of meat. I don't know what to think about it. But I mean, part of it was me laughing. Okay, I guess I have the attention of somebody. But it ended up, you know, becoming something bigger than I thought it would be. It ended up where I just went in. Then when I first got hired, it was they needed somebody like right now. They didn't have anybody to fill it, and they needed someone to do it. And then they I ended up getting a huge, I think I had 330,000 followers on my, likes or views on my first video, and was up for like 2 weeks. And so then I kind of just said, okay, I guess. So then at that point, when I saw that I was actually getting a pretty big reaction out of it compared to the other videos they did, I started to like, okay, like, guys, take a look at the numbers. Who's, you know, who's getting more views? Is it me or the other guys? And I mean, they ultimately decided to do what they're going to do, but eventually they brought me back. And now I've done like four or five with them, and they're all kind of getting, they're getting the message out there for sure. Like, look at the underwear. So,
right.
A happy client is a happy client.
And I feel like it's gonna, like, that underwear is definitely going to take off if it hasn't already.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually said that very much in a business sense. But no,
that was good.
Because it, you know, thank you. I try.
Yes.
So have you ever had that experience? We always ask musicians, have you ever been at the supermarket and you hear your music playing over the stereo? And what's that like? Have you ever been in any sort of public scenario where someone goes, don't I know you from somewhere?
Actually, yes. That happened. One person here in the little town of Yorba Linda. Mm-hmm. I was out getting something to eat, and they, I guess he said he saw me, but he like didn't want to like come over and be weird. Like he said he didn't want to come over and be weird about it. He's like, hey, like I saw you getting food. Like, I didn't know you lived in the same town as me. And I was like, I didn't know the same town as me either. Like, this is weird. He's like, yeah, like next time say hi. I was like, I didn't even know you saw me. So how about next time you say hi?
Yeah. Why is it all so, on you?
Yeah. One time. Right. So it happened one time where someone was like, hey, like I saw you and you're that guy from this commercial. So.
It's gotta be nice. Right.
It was cool. I was like, I said, someone remembers me. That's cool. So that was, it was a good feeling. It was nice. All right.
And then I also noticed you, I guess it's still filming, or I don't know if your part's wrapped on it, but on the Venom TV show, you're playing Harry Osborn, which I'm sure you can say zero about.
Yeah, that TV show is something I can't really discuss, so we're going to have
completely to, fair. Yeah. I just want to say out loud and acknowledge that you are in it. Yes, as far as we know,
convene.
Yes,
we will take. I'm in something. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Completely fair.
Yes.
We will take a recess on this subject.
There we go. Yep. Before you get in contempt, don't.
Yes.
Exactly. Push it.
Yeah.
There's a gag order.
Yes.
We will discuss in chambers.
No, it's. I mean, like, I feel like we've talked to a lot of people who have sort of the, oh, I want to get into acting, I want to do this. But then when you look at your resume, you're keeping busy at least.
You're doing it.
Is that kind of the secret to it?
I mean, the secret is you just gotta try. I mean, that's all you can really do is, it's nice to have the friends who are making this or making that, and they get you that role that comes in to kind of get extra, okay, here's another resume builder I can put on my belt. Here's a few bucks. Here's some real footage. But a lot of it is just taking the time to network, find the people you need to know, submit for every project that comes your way that you fit. And then get told no 1,000 times before you get that first yes. And then repeat the process over and over again. I get told no a lot. So, I mean, oh, I'm...
Please. Our show is nothing but no.
Yeah, so...
I don't know what that means. Yeah.
It's rough. I'm lucky enough to have the amount of credits that I have right now. I've kind of given myself where if I'm shooting, if I can book, you know, 2 or 3 roles every couple of months, then I think I'm doing okay. Yeah. That way I know I'm keeping busy. I'm keeping relevant. The commercial ads, I count those. So that's helping a lot. That's getting my name out there. Eventually someone's going to see it and be like, hey, that guy, you know, he looks good in his underwear. Let's see if we can book him for this. And just any kind of social media I can use to kind of help with just promoting. I mean, anything you can do to get your name out there, that's not going to be, you know, a negative effect on that. I think is what everyone has to do and what should be doing. And that includes creating your own content, you know, getting it out there. You never know, something you create, you decide to star in or just direct, even someone higher level can see it and be like, okay, this is pretty good. Who did it? And then next thing you know, you're in the right crowd.
You can check us out on all the various socials. Be sure to visit our website and don't forget to leave us a review.
Today's show is produced by myself and Heidi Hedquist. Our reluctant producers are John Sauvé and Sandy Stone. Our willing producers are Rachel Allen and Randy Jeanette. Our intern is Zach Jackson. This one's for Philippe. Thanks for joining us. Flash, we're coming home.
Nigel, is that you? Are you here? Nigel?